All right. Good morning, everybody. We are here live. It is Monday morning. We're both just complaining like fucking old people about how our noses are blocked. And we've got Warris is here with me, which is awesome.
Complaining about allergies.
As if he doesn't have his own show and he's not busy enough.
Yeah, I thought, let me pull in here because I know you had a rough week last week. Let me come.
So, a couple of things. Did I have a rough week? What happened?
When you're cancel week. You know what I mean? Every now and then you've got to get every canceled.
So, I've got a fake news story for today as well, which is hilarious.
You're in the wars.
I don't feel it, though. I had a lekker week. That's why I was wondering, like, why did I have a terrible week? Shame, poor Leanne is having a shit week. Her dad died. That's why she's not here this morning.
Condolences, Leanne.
Yeah, and I thought it would be an opportunity to bring in Warris, because he and I always talk about American politics all the time. And if you follow either of us or both of us on social media, you'll see that we're more excited about the U.S. presidential election than we were about our election.
100%.
Right?
That's the election to watch. If you're not watching, get on it.
So we're both excited to talk about it, and it's only a week to go, and there's so much news, the biggest media story probably of the year. Last I checked, Donald Trump on Joe Rogan had 24 million downloads.
Jeez, like 24 now, hours, just over 24 hours?
It's insane. I don't think there's ever been a podcast in history that had these kinds of numbers. Even when Kamala went on the Call Me Daddy podcast, and they just talked about tampons and vaginas.
Only other big one would be, remember the Shannon Sharp or Cat Williams one?
Oh, yeah, no, that was big. That
was huge, yeah. And got bigger because most of what he said obviously came to pass. Diddy's in jail.
All of this stuff. With Diddy, the overlap between Diddy and what's going on in the U.S. elections, we'll talk about in a second because we reckon there's something there too. But welcome. Hope you're having a good start to your week. I had a very busy weekend.
I saw your Instagram stories there. I saw you were jawling.
Yes, I saw our mutual friend Pearl Tusi. We tried to call you at
midnight video call.
Your phone just rang and rang and rang.
At that time of the night.
You were not interested.
You know, I don't know which man would take a call from Pearl Tusi at that time of the night. It could be dangerous. I was just like... No, my name saved on my phone is Gareth Cliff 2.
No, we were calling you and she was like, I wonder why he's not answering him. I know why he's not
answering. I was like, I was off duty. Where were you guys?
This luxurious marble circus, right? Yeah. They had this incredible event. I reckon there must have been close to, it was sold out. So there must have been between 4,000 and 6,000 people. Because beyond 4,000, it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell, yeah.
And it was incredible. The place looked absolutely astonishing. People dressed up. There was music. They had the Ndlovu Youth Choir or whatever they're called. Mm. They had a band. They made a brass band, 16-piece, I think it was. These guys were epic. I think old Mo from Mikasa helped put them together. But they did it all for this show. Amazing performers all over the place, people on stilts.
I saw what do they call those?
Those people who, the aerial
with the rope and the thing.
Let me tell you, it was like, and I've never been to Tomorrowland, but it was like Tomorrowland, South Africa.
Yeah.
And they did it over 2 days. I don't know how they managed because, I spent the whole day yesterday just recovering. I was tired because it was from lunchtime on Saturday until midnight.
Yes.
And I think I left at about 20 to midnight. So I made a full day of it. Mm. Lovely people, amazing music, all local talent. Every single performer, every musician, every act was South African. So I reckon they could take this whole thing and put it anywhere in the world and we'd be
in the game. Yeah. And I loved the pre-marketing, let's call it, the marketing leading up to the event. I thought it was so unique. You could tell they put so much thought into it. You know, like meticulous. I mean, I know Dino personally.
Sure.
The guys from the Marble Group are.
Absolutely.
You know,
like, it was done in a very subtle kind of, not very loud.
No, not very loud, but very clear in terms of the brief. Like you say, people actually dressed up for it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like if you throw an all-white party, for argument's sake, and people come dressed in blue, the messaging hasn't landed. With this, I think they were very clear in... I won't say the theme, but like they were like, listen, this is a spectacle. It's a show. So come through, feel free. And that's what I saw on social media.
Yeah, so show those pictures. I actually took some of these because I said I'd take pictures. Check that out. They projected.
Wow.
Yeah, onto the the stage was something else. I illegally climbed all the way to the top.
Yeah.
To that top row of windows during the day. And just looked at, I mean, it was
like
seven stories up.
Like a circus, literally, yeah.
Phenomenal. And fireworks and just incredible, incredible stuff.
No, well done.
So, I mean, I think that the organizers here they're onto something amazing.
Yeah,
they got to do one of these in the Cape, and then they've got to take this to the Middle East or wherever else and make it work.
Make it international.
Yeah. But I know that that is not what Warris and I really want to talk to you about this morning. Got lots on our agenda. I do want to start off with a good firm favorite, a family favorite, a picture of Hillary Clinton that is my favorite picture of her. Because yesterday, I had the family round for tea, and I took out the Hillary book.
Mm.
What happened? Okay, it's a book she wrote after the 2016 election.
Okay.
And she's still going around telling people she won.
Dude, she'll take that to her grave.
She will. And she's she always complains that Donald Trump is an election denier. And,
and he's an illegitimate president. Meanwhile, she's an illegitimate president.
Exactly. Meanwhile, she's walking around. Anyone who will listen, up to complete strangers, do you know I really won the 2016 elections? Yeah. I mean, she's an election denier anyway.
And no one is going to say, no, Hillary, you're mistaken. Because she's like a feared mafia figure.
Well, she'll have you killed.
Yeah, at the point at which she's asking you that question, just giving you one option. You have to just say, I know.
No, it's a crooked Hillary. Smile. So I've in the book that I've got of Hillary's, I put a fake news stamp in it.
Yeah.
And then I put crooked Hillary Clinton.
As the author.
So I thought that was funny. But this is my favorite picture of Hillary because this really tells you the whole story. You got that, James? There it is. That's the one. I don't know who the other girl is, but she's great.
She looks familiar. I think we should know her, but I don't know.
Some singer or something.
She's probably, James would probably know her. She looks like she's in his musical taste. You know,
James, you know who that is? Actress,
okay. Yes, it is Chloe Grace Moretz.
Okay, yes. I like her.
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Pity about Hillary, but yeah. And look at it. And most importantly,
donuts.
That's my favorite thing. Okay, so
Hillary is like the ultimate, like engineered. I don't know if you've ever watched a movie called The Manchurian Candidate.
Yes.
With
yes. What a brilliant movie.
What is her name? It's not Glenn Close. It's the other one. Come on. She's the mother.
I don't know.
Of The Manchurian Candidate.
Right.
But
they manufacture a person
like
stand in the election.
Perfect. Every sort of like box is ticked in terms of how a politician must be. And the mother is actually the person who controls him. Obviously, he's the face. He's the Obama.
Right.
And the mom is Big Mike, where it's like she has these code words to program him. When he's not, towing the line, then she's like Marshall Prescott Price or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
It's like Prescott Price, Marshall Prescott Price, 56.
24. Oh, my God.
Like the Winter Soldier. he's like a Russian op. And then he goes into like program mode. That's what Hillary strikes me.
You reckon she's like that?
Everything, dude, from the hairstyle to the smile to the way she speaks.
I think Hillary, she feels like she's been really hard done by. I think she thought, okay, I'm going to stick it out with Bill because it'll give me the runway I need for a presidential run. Then she reckons she had it stolen from her by Obama. Because remember, he was the candidate. She's been trying for this for years now.
Yeah, true.
Remember, and she was pipped to the post by Obama, and she was furious about that.
Yeah, but
there's always been an issue.
She served as Secretary of State. You got it.
Yeah. But he threw her a bone.
Yeah,
you know, she really desperately wants to be president. Mm. That woman. She thinks it's her right. So when Obama beat her to it, she was cross. Then she became Secretary of State. She fucked up in Libya. She had all of her computers destroyed.
Yes,
and the email scandal, deleted. Right? And then she ran again,
which is a real thing,
against Trump, and she thought, I'm gonna win this. And everybody in the media told her, you're gonna win this. And she was like, I'm gonna win this. And I remember I was in New York on that night of the election in 2016. Oh. And her celebration was being planned down on the Hudson River. And it was a damp squib because they realized, oh, shit, this is happening. Yeah.
Do you think they still went ahead with the celebration?
No, they didn't. No, she says proudly she conceded. She went out in her purple suit and she conceded. Anyway, she lost that one, hasn't stopped complaining about it. And then she's kept in the scene.
Mm.
Instead of just disappearing now and enjoying her life, she and Bill got lots of money, right?
Too much money.
Plenty of money.
Foundation raises like stupid
numbers. Oh, and she's her daughter's now married. Chelsea married some rich dude.
Mm.
They're fine. She can enjoy her life. She can go and, but she can't help it. She has to be involved. She's still involved. She's on TV all the time. She'd give an interview to anybody at this point. We could get her on the show, this show, by Wednesday if we wanted to.
As long as we want to bash Trump.
And Crooked Hillary, she's still out there, roaming around, also, killing people who disagree.
Snuffing people.
Yeah.
I think what's also interesting about her is that she is still seen as a voice, like she's one of the senior members of the Democrats.
Yeah.
Party. And my thing is, like, if you notice the difference between the Democrats and Republicans, there's people who right now are prominent Republicans. They are like the front runners. They are, they're like the leadership team who 5 years ago, we didn't even know their names.
J.D. Vance,
would be one. Vivek Ramaswamy would be another. Tulsi Gabbard, you know, the Avengers assembled. Yeah. Whereas if you look at the Democrat Party, we've got the same names that 10 years ago were still running, you know, like alongside Obama.
There's an elite. There's an aristocracy in the Democrats.
Which isn't working. The thing is, if it was an elite that's working, you can say, you know, what are they going to do when Hillary's gone? But it's like they didn't like you under Obama. They didn't like you when you ran against Trump. You lost. And she let Trump get in, which is where everything went wrong for them.
Yeah.
In 2020, they went and fetched Biden, who was cognitively not impaired. Heavily impaired, instead of you, because that's how little confidence your own party had in you. And now, fast forward, Biden obviously falls out the race. And still, she would have loved if they had looked to her.
But she's still there in case, you know, in case they need her.
That's the thing. So she's still there in case they need her, but it's because they're scared of her. Because nobody wants to tell her, Hillary, just fucking retire because she'll have them taken out. It's a tough one.
But she must be desperate for it. I mean, she has such a fucking hankering for that presidency. I don't think there's ever been anyone who wanted that presidency more.
Have you watched?
You can see they even trot Bill out. And Bill, by the way, looks like he's falling apart. Hey?
Ooh, Bill looks like he is. Joe is in cognitive decline. Bill,
let's just talk about Bill for a second.
What is wrong with you?
Okay. Because Warris sent me a clip over the weekend of Monica Lewinsky. I should have actually sent it to you, James. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And I'll see if we can get it to you before the end of the show today.
Did I send it to you, James?
Monica Lewinsky. On a clip being interviewed by Barbara Walters, talking about how Bill Clinton was her sexual kryptonite or something.
Her sexual soulmate.
Soulmate. Yeah. Her sexual soulmate.
Sexual soulmate.
And she's giggling and she's talking about, he was a great kisser and all of this stuff.
Please keep in mind, at this stage, Monica was in her early 20s.
Yeah.
And Bill was,
meanwhile,
50.
I mean, between Bill and Hillary, that poor girl, I mean, her life was ruined.
Her life was ruined.
In that interview, she's like still getting a lot of attention. And you can see she's very
naive.
It's
when she was on the media run, which followed. Yeah.
But man, it didn't take long for him to go, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky, not a single time. I did not lie under oath, and I want to go back to work for the American people. Meanwhile,
his DNA was on her dress. And it wasn't a hair follicle. Bull, bro.
People don't remember this stuff. It feels like ancient history now because this was in the 90s.
Yeah,
okay, mid-90s. So this is a long time ago. Most people are like, what? Bill Clinton? But when you watch it now, it's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. But those who know, and what happened, look at Hillary now. And when you think about it, this woman had to deal with that and stay and stick it out. This is an angry woman. How embarrassing, dude. Like, the whole world knew that her husband had basically shot his load on Monica's dress. So when he was denying it and she was supporting him, out comes this information and it's like, we found this dress in your wardrobe with Bill Clinton semen all over it. Oh, my word.
No, it's hot. It's so embarrassing. Okay, so the comment section's already nailing me here. Gareth is a Republican. He is very clearly biased. So,
you can't be a Republican. We are South Africans. What we can be is we can support one team.
Calm down. Listen, I used to be a big fan of George W. and Dick Cheney. I'm not anymore. So if I was a Republican
Dick
once.
Dick Cheney, wow.
Yeah, Dick Cheney, how's that, hey?
How's that?
Dick fucking Cheney, who shot his mate in the face while they were on a hunting trip.
By mistake.
And Dick Cheney, who stood up in Congress as the president ex tempore of the Senate and said to one of the other senators, Senator, with all due respect, fuck you. That Dick Cheney,
the legend.
Angry, angry Dick Cheney, who always had a gun and a grimace. He never smiled at her.
No.
Ever.
Still doesn't.
So he was like the Republican institution, right? Now he's backing Kamala for president.
He was like the hidden hand. He was the guy behind the scenes who actually ran shit with
Because everyone thought
Donald Rumsfeld. Remember
but everyone
Rumsfeld?
Thought that George W. was a complete fucking idiot.
No,
right?
100%. Yeah. And they would subjectively clip what he said, kind of similar to what they do now, to make him look like an idiot. You know, like when he was like you know,
listen to
fool
this.
Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me twice. You can't fool me twice. Like, you can't fool me again. His way.
So here's like, Judas. She says, as a woman myself, I strongly believe women should not run for president. We are way too emotional. Plus, if a woman ever becomes president, she would still be dominated by all the men within the party.
You know what, Judas? Thank you for your view, but that's your view.
Yeah,
I don't want to touch that. I've also had a bad week of cancellation.
Yeah, if we endorse that, we're going to be thrown out of here.
You will be ruined.
All right, so let's just leave it. Okay, so one of the reasons...
Judas, what I will say to you is, wink, wink. Yeah.
Now that we're on the subject, Gareth, do you like the Electoral College? Or do you think the popular vote's the best way to settle an election? Okay, so difference between the American system and ours is that the states all have their own governments, right? So each state has a governor, each state has a state legislature, each state appoints its own judges, and they send two senators and a number of Congress people. That's determined on the population of the state. To Congress.
As in how many people? How many their
to
number?
The federal government. Yeah. So like California gets by far the most Congress people.
Oh, they've got
they
like 20 million
people. A ton because they've got most of the people. New York, very high. Texas, very high. Chicago, Illinois, obviously, the state of Illinois. But if you're a state like Wisconsin or Montana.
Or North Carolina.
They've only got like 2,000 people in the whole state. But the reason they opted in to be in the United States is because they'd get equal representation at federal level. So they each get two senators, but they get less Congress people. Now, the popular vote, which the Democrats have won probably every time since Bill Clinton. Popular vote, and it's been a bone of contention. America is, like South Africa, a republic, which means you are represented by someone in government. And that person represents X number of people in the country. A democracy, a pure democracy, is one where all the people get a vote and majority rules.
Whoever wins.
Correct. So America is a republic. We're a republic. The reason they did that was to prevent mob rule, because they learned from the French Revolution, which was going on at the same time, that you don't want just the mob to decide, because usually it leads to terrible shit. I mean, again, French Revolution. And look around the world, the Russian Revolution. Not necessarily the best outcome.
Germany, the way that Hitler rose to power was also on the popular vote.
That was the popular vote, correct. So now America has this very strict system where they have the Electoral College. Basically, each state then sends a number of electors. These are not shadowy people. It's all, you knew who they are beforehand. You'll know who they are afterwards.
They're like ward councillors.
Correct. And then they go and then they cast their vote for the person who has the most votes in that state. So it's not as if it's but they're representatives. They don't just let the people decide by vast majority, because that would be pure democracy. That's not what they've got.
Because when they speak about, because I won't lie, I don't understand it properly, the Electoral College thing. But I know that when they speak about who's going to win. So when they're having the discussion, they'll say, Trump needs 270 electoral college votes to win. That's the number. So once you get to 270, you are the winner.
Correct.
But those votes, you say, are determined by, what is it, two senators each or two congresspeople? Because who are the electoral college members? Are they senators, congressmen, judges?
They can be.
Judges?
They can be, but they're usually people from each state that then go to the Congress to cast the vote on behalf of their state.
I see. But then,
but I mean, we already know, because you'll see they start projecting, you know, Trump has this many, Kamala has this many electoral college votes, because they know what the electoral college people are going to vote.
Yes. Then it boils down to those, what do they call those states? Battleground states.
It's down to, and I don't want to get into too many details here because I can tell the audience is getting annoyed with me. but we got to talk about this. Yeah. It's like the biggest event of the year. Okay, this is bigger than the Super Bowl.
It's the biggest event of the past 5 years, basically.
And the whole world is watching what happens here. You know, Xi in China is about to decide whether or not to, like, press the button on Taiwan.
Mm.
Russia's looking at the Ukraine situation, waiting to see what happens
and
next
saying,
week.
Give it one more week.
Correct. So all of these guys are busy sitting on their hands.
Keir Starmer is looking at the situation and thinking.
Even in the Middle East, they're all waiting to see what happens with Trump and Kamala. So it is the biggest story in the world. Anyway, let me cut to the chase on this. The battleground states, where it all comes down. If you live in New York or California or in Texas or in Florida, it doesn't matter what you say, really.
Because we know who's winning.
It's all about Pennsylvania, Michigan,
North Carolina,
Georgia,
Ohio,
Nevada, and no, Ohio's
is Ohio
that's,
red.
That's in, yeah, it's red for Trump. And Arizona.
Mm.
Those are the ones that matter. Pennsylvania, I think we left out. Pennsylvania is a big one. But at this stage, it's still, you know, they want to make it look like a close race and all this stuff. Or it really is, and it could come down to a few votes. We'll have to see. Anyway, people are talking about the Joe Rogan interview with Trump, and I wanted to hear what Warris's thoughts on that were. Because you listened to the whole thing.
I watched the
whole thing. 3 hours. I'll tell you, there were parts of it where they started talking about wrestling.
They started talking about UFC. They started talking about wrestling. They started talking about a lot of stuff that had nothing to do with politics.
Yeah,
boxing.
Yeah. Golf.
Yes. And Joe's, I like what Trump does, which I think is he's skillful in that. When Joe, for example, was pressing him on the JFK files,
yes.
And he was like, look, you've seen them. What's in there that made you say, right, I don't want to release them? And he was like, look, there's people who are still alive today.
Their
who
addresses.
Are named. Yeah. So, you know, I thought, a lot of people who I respect very much. That's how he phrased it. In that, like, people who I respect very much came to me and said, don't release it. And I listened to those people because I respect those people. But there's a lot of information in there. And then, he does the weave.
But then he goes, but I'll release it very soon. Very soon. In fact, in the first few days, I'm going to release. I will give you all the information.
Perhaps, you know? So Joe, and then Joe doesn't sort of, he doesn't press him more, because he then starts talking about Khabib.
Yeah.
You know, then he throws it back to Joe, and he knows Joe loves UFC. So Joe goes on a tangent about UFC.
He's clever.
So that was very clever. So he didn't actually get to like definitive answers on anything. Joe asked all the right questions. I think he asked all the questions he wanted to ask, stuff that I would expect Joe Rogan to ask, that nobody has asked him, to be fair. But Trump was just very clever in the way that he weaved around it. But he said enough, you know, for it to be a real conversation. I'm not saying he was evading answering the questions, but, you know, he is a former president, and I'm sure there are limits to what he can share. Like, he can't come in there and say, listen, I've been to Area 51. The fucking aliens are real, bro.
He did mention it. He's like, oh, it would be the greatest tourist destination.
You see, Area 51.
But so he doesn't give anything away.
That's it. And if he had to give something away, they would immediately cancel. You know, he'd be indicted again.
Sure.
You know,
they're looking for any reason to pull him down.
That's
And similarly, at the moment, Kamala's having a very rough time.
Bad.
So the big news of the weekend is that, have you heard about Beyonce Gate?
Her talking happening. And not performing.
That's it. So the Democrats, in a desperate attempt to pull out all their Trump cards, that's a hilarious irony, Trump cards, they have called on everyone they can now. Their biggest celebrities, and there isn't a bigger celebrity really.
Yeah, then Beyonce.
She's hugely popular. Everybody loves her.
Hugely popular, but you know, this is my thing with Beyonce, is that like, I think you have to also question who it is you're pulling out, you know? My thing is, are people really trying to hear what Beyonce has to say about political matters? Because if you listen to her little speech that she gave, it was written for her, first of all.
Sure.
Second of all, it was very, very generic. Uh-huh. You know, like, that's why I like what you said earlier about Hillary Clinton still being the one who pulls the strings. It's very like Hillary Clinton-esque, where it's like, this is so planned.
Well,
I don't believe this
shit. People were furious because, you know, they don't really care about Kamala, which is why they're now having to bring out Beyonce. But they heard Beyonce was coming and they thought, ooh, free concert.
Yeah. No, they alluded. They gave the impression that Beyonce is performing.
Correct.
So as much as they didn't say Beyonce will be performing with the flyer like it's a jewel, a lot of the news in the build-up to it was like, our sources tell us Beyonce is going to be there.
And she was.
They did the same thing at the DNC. They were like, Beyonce is coming, Beyonce is coming, and she never appeared.
Right.
And she was there, yes, but she spoke for 2.5 minutes.
Do you think she was being forced to come out there?
100%.
Look, there she is, by the way, with Kelly Rowland, which she could have, I mean, she would have hated that, right?
Yeah, you look at
There's
her
no
face,
way.
Bro.
Beyonce's not happy to be. And what is Kelly Rowland wearing there?
I have no idea. And that picture actually doesn't do it justice. When you watched it on the video where Kelly's speaking at the podium,
terrible.
It's like this wide shoulder. I don't know, it's like she's wearing Trump's suit.
She looks like a cartoon character.
Yeah, like, you know, the music video of Kanye West and Lil Pump, where they're dressing those oversized. So I don't know. But anyway, what do I know about fashion? But Beyonce had the expression on her face during her speech. You could tell she was, in my opinion, she was forced to do this little
speech.
She had
a gun to her head.
Yeah.
They said to her, if you don't come, we'll release the Diddy tapes.
That's it. Or they paid her a fortune. You know, maybe they gave her $10 million.
Maybe.
Yeah, but I'm willing to go with the Diddy tapes version.
I don't think she needs the money.
True. I don't think she needs the money.
I think for her, because Beyonce is a very calculated branding genius, right? And you can see she's always very well put together. She says the right thing. She does the right thing. She doesn't release material that isn't perfect for her brand. She's very clever about this stuff. And I think they said to her, look, you've got to help us.
You've got to help us. But she's also got this big campaign at the moment with Levi's, and she's released a country music album.
Yeah.
So if you sing country music and you want your country music to bang, you need the southern states. You need the Texases and you need the Arizonas. Yeah. And that's Trump country.
Right.
Honestly, let's keep it real. You know, the Rust Belt of America.
And did you
see? So it's not to say that she needs she would give a Trump endorsement, but what it is to say is she wants to remain neutral because she's got a career to think of. You know, look what happened to Taylor Swift when she came out. And, you know, you don't want the backlash that comes with
no,
it.
No, I mean, someone just said in the comments, they just put it on the screen. Now, what about Eminem? I think Judas there says very, very Rebellious Ruth says, I was so shocked about Eminem. I can't believe he did a bit. I honestly believed he had more brains, Ish. So,
yeah, no, Rebellious, I'm with you on that. I was very disappointed.
There are a lot of Eminem fans who were upset that he did that. I mean, listen, Obama's working harder now to try and get Kamala elected
than he did
than
for
he
himself.
Worked for himself when he was he was very chilled when he was running. Yeah. He had all the charisma. He said the right things. He was all about like unity and getting people together, and we're going to do this as United States, not the red states or the blue states. And he's working hard now. And I almost wonder, because clearly it's him, Hillary. Like who? Nancy Pelosi, right?
Nancy,
Chuck Schumer. These are the people in the Democrat establishment who control. They must be shitting themselves because Trump's got nothing to lose if he gets elected now.
True. And it's his last term.
And he's gonna take them down.
He has to take them down.
Right,
I think if he's learned anything from his first term, he has to take them down. Because even when he was in charge, look at the power that they amassed in the time that he was running the country and what they did to him.
Correct.
Since. You know, they were able to install Joe Biden and control him from behind the scene. And I also think, like, what I'd like to see, because, you know, like you said in the beginning of the show, if you're not interested in U.S. elections, you know, you're actually missing
a great show.
Yes. This is entertainment at its best.
We've had assassination attempts.
Dude, we've had Elon and the Mabahambe jump.
Everything.
We've had
Mabahambe jump.
Mabahambe jump. Kids on stage. We've had it's like the biggest drama show. It's like WWE. You know, like the wrestling is kind of just a formality. It's the whole story and the drama behind it that makes WWE what it is. I was actually watching the Vince McMahon documentary recently. And when you see
genius,
bro, the way he engineered this thing to kind of get into people's homes, top of mind. It's this massive multi-billion dollar business.
Genius.
And it's all, it's actually Days of Our Lives. It's a soap opera. And this, this American politics is a soap opera.
Undertaker.
You've got the reality
TV. You remember that shit?
Yes.
I mean, I know
the Undertaker's now endorsing Trump.
Exactly. I know people who are like, they're very smart people. They have serious jobs. They love that stuff. They love it. They love a little bit of bullshit. They can see through it, but they still like being entertained. And that's kind of how it is with this American election. And I got to hand it to both of these candidates. They are doing their best to pull the biggest audience they can to watch the show.
Even if it means putting out a fake lineup. I don't know if you've ever, I've been to festivals in Georgia and South Africa where
they
would lie and say Black Coffee is performing, Black Motion is performing. And when those acts didn't turn up, people rioted. So when Beyonce didn't perform at this Texas rally, this Houston rally, people immediately started leaving. And what was awkward, James, I sent you that video of Carmela actually, where she's not in the biggest cities. She's not winning the crowds because they came out with this thing of Megan Thee Stallion, Eminem, whatever it is. They run a lineup like it's the Fantastic Marvel Circus.
Yeah.
Not actually a political rally. So people come for the performances and not for the speech.
And then when she's talking, they don't want to listen.
Start booing her,
of course.
So and that's embarrassing.
It looks very bad.
Oh, it's bad look.
And she's also not good at dealing with a crowd.
No. She has this smile on her face when people are booing her and chanting Trump, Trump, Trump. And she's like, no, you at the wrong place. Go to the rally down the street. She's used that joke on more than one occasion. And then it's like, geez, like, is that all you've got?
I almost feel a bit sorry for her.
Me too.
Not because, you know, it's this patronizing thing of like, I'm just a Trump fan, which I am. But here's the thing. It's like to see someone fail so publicly is not nice. And I don't think Kamala Harris is a terrible person.
Mm.
Like, I don't think Kamala Harris is out there trying to like torch the world. I don't think she's an evil politician who's got like designs on changing the world and making it worse. I think she's just an empty suit. I think she's been thrust into the spotlight here. Everywhere she's gone, she's been, I mean, she was hired as the VP by Joe Biden after she thought she'd lost the presidential primary and no one cared anymore. And you know what they're going to do if she loses, right? She'll just be thrown on the rubbish heap. So this poor woman is out there. She's trying. They're probably putting huge pressure on her. You're like, you've got to do this. She's doing these interviews that she didn't want to do in the beginning.
Like the Fox News one.
And now she's being put in a crowd of people who are there to see Beyonce.
Yes.
And they're booing her and she doesn't know what the hell to do. What would you do?
Yeah.
You'd shit yourself too.
I saw an interesting tweet. Look, I had said, you know, what I like is sometimes, you know, you'll be thinking something and you'll try to articulate it.
Yeah.
And it's what you're thinking, but then somebody, you know, with a journalistic pen will come and write it just in a better way. And this guy, this Jeffrey A. Tucker.
Yeah.
Tweeted, he said, I've paid far more attention to Kamala than I ever imagined I would a presidential candidate, listening to her interview speeches and so on. And he said, I suspect that many people, even people who are partisans, are realizing something quite shocking, is that she knows less about policy, news, and existing public controversies, and even recent history, than most people who read X or the New York Times, or even just listen to the news or radio or TV. He said, it's like she hasn't paid much attention to anything for years. Interviewers are trying their best to be kind to her, but even the slightest bit of push on what she knows turns up a big nothing. It's not that she's being cagey or that she's being clever. The trouble is that she truly doesn't know. It's hard to understand why. It could be that she has, for most of her career, been able to outsource knowledge and understanding to others. She has always just been a smiling face, the socializer, the spouter of bromides, and gotten by with just faking it. But after a while, it probably doesn't feel like faking it. It feels like this is the way the job is supposed to be. And she's not known any other way. And I thought that was absolutely profound.
Spot
because
on.
I said a few weeks ago, I was like, when you listen to her talk, because I watched all her interviews, I watch it for comedy.
Mm.
And that's another thing. What if you watch a Kamala Harris interview, it's like that cringy, where you want the earth to swallow. You know, when you want to throw your phone into a wall, you're just like, this woman is, she's retarded. This is a stupid woman. Or she's drunk, or I believe she's addicted to prescription meds.
You think one so? Of the is three, that what you think? Drew,
that is what I think. She goes into this waffle where if you listen to what she's saying, it's like, no, this person is joking. You know, like someone said, it's like, you know, when you have to write a 1,000-word essay and you're on 880 words.
Yeah.
So you start padding just to get the 1,000-word
I almost
count.
Feel like she's like your aunt that has found herself in this position now, and she's having to like step up and do things that your aunt doesn't normally do.
Yes.
And she's not handling it.
No, she's not. But they're making her do
it. Yeah, and it's
so
cruel. It's actually cruel.
She's not doing it because she wants to do it. But, you know, Candace Owens has done this. Yo, dude, Candace Owens has torn her to pieces, which I think it'll become prominent after the election, after Trump wins. But Candace Owens has gone into her family.
Yeah.
This whole thing about her being black, which seems to be a scam. She's actually of Irish Indian descent, and she's like one.
She's got
black.
Slave owners in the
yes, in her lineage, in
family. Yeah,
her made-up gran, who was actually the help that she basically just posed in a photo with and said, "This
well,
is my gran."
She so, also grew up allegedly. Mostly, she spent a lot of her childhood in Canada,
and her parents were these weren't middle class. She makes it seem like her mom worked at Spa.
No.
It's like,
they
no,
had money.
They had money. You know, they were tenured professors, and these were intelligent people. Like, she makes it seem like her mom was like a laborer, bro, and right, her dad works in the
let's
mines.
Let's pause it for a second, because we've got to get James in here to do some sports. James, have you got something to tell us about the sport this weekend? Because I have no idea what happened. Okay, bring it in. Bring
you
it
have
in.
A little
bring
bit of sport.
In. Okay, let's see. I mean, I'd rather not. This is Warris. You're wearing Crocs, hey?
Hey? Drew, this is my gift from my kids.
Warris is wearing the Crocs. Look, people.
That.
To pay attention.
From my lighties. I bought my kids a pair of Crocs each this weekend. And they were like,
what
know
are these
what?
Things called that they put on them?
These are called, not aglets, they're called giblets.
Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
My little nephews so have got them. Yeah. But they've got one in every
got a little
hole
dinosaur
on the
and
damn
lock.
Thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Dinosaur and a lock. And on this one,
and
a
this
palm
one I've
tree
got
and
a,
some flags.
Yes. But my kids chose them. Because. We got we bought two pairs of Crocs and we got one pair for free. So they okay. insisted I take a pair of Crocs, and I thought,
but
let me take a
are
pair
they comfortable?
Of very comfortable. Honestly, I've always knocked Crocs.
Yeah.
Like I've been like, I would never, but I put them on Saturday and I haven't taken them off. I've been wearing these shoes every day.
Everybody
since,
says that. I'm just too scared.
Really
I'm too scared to even try.
You know Suhail from the doctor's
yeah,
shop?
Of course.
He also, dude, he's got every colorway. He
but
wears the, a different
but they wear
of Crocs
these when
day.
They at work, right?
That's it. Yeah. And he said to me, dude, I spend 18 hours a day on my feet. This, nothing beats a Croc. Unless you want to wear like a green cross, which is like, come on.
Lesbian shoes. That's a lesbian shoes. They are. I've only ever met. And what are the other ones? Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
I've only ever met lesbians who wear green cross and Birkenstocks.
Okay.
All right. I feel like we need to have a woman on the show before we go into that conversation. All right, James, what happened over the weekend in sport? I paid zero attention. So
well, you were stuck on
news.
The jewel.
I'm going to make it real quickly. So there's Premier League action this weekend. Liverpool lost to Ben's team, unfortunately. Sad weekend for us.
Okay.
No, we drew there. Sorry, 2-2. Man United lost again this weekend.
Surprise.
For them this weekend. City won this weekend 1-0. Bournemouth, they drew to Aston Villa 1-1. In the URC, only two South African teams won this weekend. It was the Vodacom Bulls and the Sharks. The Stormers lost Glasgow 17-28 and the Lions lost to Leinster 24-6.
Is it just me or are you talking extra softly today?
I mean, I might be talking far away from the
no,
mic.
But I don't have headphones on, so I'm just listening to you as a human in your vicinity.
I think
and
it might
sound
be
very
you.
Soft.
Am I speaking soft?
Yeah, you are.
You are. Yeah. And usually, I mean, guys, behind the scenes, this man is loud.
He's loud. He makes
he
a lot of noise.
He walks around with a Mr. Price microphone.
Yeah. No, he does. He's got a loud hailer.
Did you say the Sharks and the Bulls won?
Yeah.
And
the
everybody
South
else lost.
Teams to win.
Okay.
The well, Sharks and Bulls. Lions and the Stormers lost. Yeah.
The Sharks are like, remember when Roman Abramovich bought Chelsea? And he just went,
spent money.
Yeah, that's the Sharks
the
right
money.
Now.
All
yeah.
the money.
I think they have to win. They actually can't lose anymore.
Otherwise, it's embarrassing. It's like when Patrice took over Sundowns.
That's it. It's like, well, the money's there now. Yeah. So
the Sharks are owned by an American, I think. So they've also got them dollars coming in.
I saw a story, and I don't know whether you guys know anything about this, but I saw a story about how South African rugby, there's some American who wanted to buy into that.
That's
is that a real story?
That's, yeah, it's what's the South African? That's the league itself. That's like SA Rugby in general, which I think includes not only our league players, but also includes like the Springboks.
Wow.
This is like brand rugby. Rugby SA vibe. But I was listening to it actually on The Money Show.
Okay.
So I quote it in passing. So, you know, forgive me if I'm misquoting.
Yeah.
But essentially, the person who they had on The Money Show was like, this is the worst deal of life. It's a shit deal. It's essentially like, you could get a much better deal if it was structured like XYZ. This is more like a loan in exchange for shares.
We can't get an American-owned Springboks.
No,
you know?
No.
So, look, I think it would have... There's advantages and disadvantages. I think the disadvantage, obviously, we can't have an American owning the Springboks.
Sure.
Yes, but the advantage would be once Americans start investing heavily in any sport,
right,
like rugby, it grows massively. And if we could get a rugby audience in the States, like they've been doing, call it like development in soccer. They brought Messi, they sent him to Miami, and the money that it's generated for the sport and the attention it's brought to soccer is worth way more than what they paid for Messi and what they pay Messi to be there. In the same way Ronaldo in Saudi. Is that if you want to develop the sport in any meaningful way, this is what you need to do. So imagine the Americans put the money into SA Rugby and they start taking our best players to play in the leagues in America. It'll grow rugby massively there, which will grow the global audience.
That's
and when they come back and play for the Springboks, you're having a completely different conversation now. You know, as big as the Springboks are as World Cup winners, the Rugby World Cup doesn't compare to the Soccer World Cup.
Right.
But if you want to make it, get it there, get it on American TV.
And screens. Obviously, because America is the biggest market for television.
That's it. Look at the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, nowhere else in the world.
And I'll
is
tell
NFL.
You what, rugby's way more entertaining than American football.
Yeah, American football's actually, it's very boring. I like it. I watch a lot of
the
highlights.
Start
stuff.
All
yeah.
the
I don't
time.
Get the point of it.
It's, you've got to move the ball forward. You've got to get from this line to the 40, to the 30, to
but
the 20,
why must
to
we
the 10.
Throw and then stop and then throw and then... But why must it be like... Do you know what I mean?
Well, we need to smash each other while we throw. That's the exciting part, is the hits. The hits and the catches.
We
I mean,
so
if someone
many
can
pets.
Throw a ball 50 yards...
That's
and
incredible.
This guy with three people around him can jump and catch. I mean, that's incredible athleticism. But that happens maybe 5% of...
The rest
okay.
of the time, it's
the
just,
rest of the time
it's
just
boring. It's stoppages.
Hud, hud, bang. Helmets crashing. Bang. Concussions. You know what I mean?
And also, I think rugby, put a rugby player against an American football player, man to man. I mean, even Etzebeth or like
Alt server.
Look, take Oxenchair. Put him in with any oak from American football. And he Ox will just destroy that.
Hey, listen.
It'll be
don't get
else.
Ox into trouble. Anyway, what else happened in sport? What happened in women's tennis?
Wow.
Go on, James. Who else? What happened?
Okay, so that was Premier League. That was the URC. There was no women's tennis, as far as I'm concerned, this weekend. There was an El Clasico, though.
Yeah.
There was an El Clasico this weekend, which is one of the biggest games in football and has been for years. It's Real Madrid versus Barcelona.
Is it still a thing?
It wasn't, but I think this past weekend may have reignited the El Clasico fire.
Okay.
There were, I think, 17 fouls at some stage. Barca ended up winning 4-0, which is a huge
Well,
surprise.
There's not an El Clasico. I mean, that's a whitewash. Real's dying.
That was at home for Real, though. Real were home. They lost 4-0. And they had a 17-year-old score against them, 18-year-old, which is
that's pretty good.
Even worse. So, yeah, El Clasico is back. And fiery as ever. Do you watch UFC?
What about Formula
One? I do
watch
you.
There was Formula One this weekend also. The Ferraris did very, very well. We had a 20-second time penalty for Max Verstappen also, which wasn't good for him.
I follow this account on Instagram that shows you like celebrity homes.
Yeah.
Have you seen these things where they use Google Earth and they like fly around the house of whoever the singer or rapper or sports star is?
Like Max. Cribs.
Yeah, but they just show you the outside of the house and you see the property. So Max Verstappen lives in Monaco. He's got a condo right on the harbor with like a terrace garden on the top there.
Nice life.
But you can imagine it's
nice
got everything,
problems,
right? Like if you think apartment living, like this is next level apartment living.
Yeah.
Like views of the Mediterranean and that is a hell of a place to live. I mean, they said it was $30 million, that apartment that he has.
Yes, like that thing probably comes standard with like six OnlyFans models.
Oh, for sure. And they change them out every other month. If you're tired of Cindy and Bambi and Dolores, you get three notes.
Oh, Max, horrendous.
So well done to him. But I mean, $30 million for a Formula One driver is not a lot of money, right?
No,
they could probably make that in a couple of weeks.
Mm. It's easy, just from sponsors. I mean,
who won? It's kind of important. That's
Carlos
why we do
Sainz,
this.
He is Ferrari driver. He won Lando Norris in at second with Charles Leclerc, who's also a Ferrari driver and also lives in Monaco.
Yeah.
He came in third with Hamilton, surprisingly, in fourth.
Okay, he's still doing it.
Why do they live in Monaco?
Tax.
Okay.
Because Prince, what's his name? Albert doesn't charge them
any
tax.
Doesn't charge them any tax. Well, and then he gets to have them as residents.
Yeah.
It's also like...
I was going to say, do they live in Monaco because they practice on the track? But the Monaco Grand Prix is
street.
Literally around
it's
the city.
That's where people drive around.
Americans also go to Puerto Rico for tax. Like rich Americans, that's where they go now.
Sorry.
Tax and
Puerto Rico.
We love... Puerto Rico.
My last bit of the sport. Topuria knocked out Max Holloway to retain the featherweight title and claim the baddest motherfucker title. This
week. Nice.
Yes. He knocked out Max Holloway.
Correct.
After, I mean, remember Max Holloway's last fight? He had that, you know, the last 5 seconds where he stood.
Yeah.
With the baddest motherfucker.
Said, yeah. Let's fuck each other up. Let's go.
You and know, it's like called that.
BMF belt.
Okay.
BMF belt.
Because you know, we've got an award here for the Real Network. Yeah. It's the realest motherfucker.
Oh, is it? The RMF.
Oh. So far, I think Marv has won it 2 months in a row. But,
which is weird because he came up with the award and then
I did
it. So just
did you go on it? Have you won it yet?
No, of course not.
Well, fuck. Now that I know about it, obviously I've got to take it every time. But I was saying, if Holloway in his last performance had this arguably the greatest ending of a UFC fight in history, where he stood with his opponent toe to toe, and this was like a pretty even fight. You know what I mean? And honestly speaking, Gaethje didn't have to engage. He could have just chilled. This is the last 10 seconds where you battered, you bruised, you hurt. You just want the fight to end. And he said, let's go. Stand in the middle of the ring and let's just all out swing at each other. And they start swinging. 1, 2, 3, 4. And obviously you're thinking it's going to be swing, swing, swing. Bell goes, they hug. Uh-uh. Garrett, he lands his right hand on Gaethje, who is difficult to knock out.
Where did he hit him?
Bang, brother. On his chin.
Yes. Dorsey. And he goes down.
He goes. As he hits the floor, the bell goes. On the last second. And the crowd goes fucking bananas. And it was like Max Holloway's return to UFC. This is a guy who you could say his star was fading. He's had a problematic couple of past years. He's had some bad luck. And this is the fight that brings him back. Saturday.
It all ended for him.
You know, so I'm sure so tough because I love the rock, you know?
Wow.
But this what's his name? Topuria. Yeah, Topuria. This guy. He is like, who are we speaking about now that has an apartment in Monaco?
Max.
Max Verstappen. This guy is like Max Verstappen of UFC. He's got so much money.
Yeah, you could say
in his personal capacity.
Oh, right.
He is super wealthy.
All the money.
So he's got, his training camp is at his house. He's had this gym built. He's got
did he have money
lab.
Before or did
before,
he?
Before, bro.
Oh,
he
so
doesn't
he
even
made,
need the UFC.
So he made
money.
A bunch of money and now he's doing this for fun.
Now it's just vibes.
Wow. This is his vibe. You know what I mean? He's like Conor McGregor, but
that's
the other way
pretty,
around.
That's pretty cool, I think.
Badass. Yeah? He deserves that belt.
That's the life.
Imagine, like, if you're a guy and the three of us sitting here now, like, there are a few things you want to do in your life, right? You want to make lots of money. You want to be famous for something. You want to, like, be the best at something.
Yes.
Whether it's winning UFC fights and being really fucking tough.
That's it.
Or if it's, you know, inventing something or whatever.
You want to bag lots of bays.
And then that, you want to get married
especially
to a beautiful
when you're
woman.
Younger.
Yeah, no, sure. Yeah. You want to get married to a beautiful woman
James.
Or have like lots of girlfriends who are very attractive. Because women won't understand this, so I'll try and explain it. Like we're very, very simple creatures, most men. We have like a couple of things we want to tick off in our lives. We get those things right then. You get to the next level of things. You want to have kids and raise them as well as you can. That's like a next level thing because that's not for yourself. That's actually, you know, something that you're going to leave behind, legacy kind of thing.
Yes, that's
then you
for
want
your
to, Yeah, then your bloodline. You want to create something that's going to outlive you, whether it's, you know, great writing or an amazing building or something that's going to be there long after you're gone, or, you know, reorganize the army or take over a country or something like that. You want to do that
revolution.
Stuff. Right. You want to do something like that. And for a guy like that, I can kind of work out without knowing anything about him. He made all this money. He's probably bought everything he could ever buy. He's probably had lots of women in his life. And now he wants to be the toughest motherfucker in the world. And that's he trains it. At home, and he's got like all the best people, and he's turned it into a science. And now he's going to go out there and he's going to mess fucking everybody up.
And that's exactly what he did.
And now he's the best motherfucker.
Right.
He's actually, he is the champ. He's
the bubble champ. Now, he'll retire.
Mm.
Now he'll leave at the top.
People were saying that about Conor McGregor. I use the UFC as my point of reference when I say it's one of the most brilliantly built businesses from a marketing perspective, in my opinion, because they are able to take their stars, which is, if you watch the Vince McMahon documentary on the WWE and how he built it around Hulk Hogan,
right,
is where Dana White, I think, was brilliant in that Conor McGregor is arguably the most recognizable name in the UFC.
Right.
But if you actually look at how many times he's fought in the past 5 years, I think it's 3.
Right.
He doesn't actually fight. When he does fight, they make such a massive spectacle of the fight buildup.
Yeah.
That by the time the fight happens, it's actually only 2 rounds. He breaks his leg and that's the end of the fight. Or he loses.
Yeah. Okay? He's not even considered
The fight is like a formality. Yeah. Nobody cares about the actual fight. But he is Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And when you watch footage of Conor McGregor, because when it was happening, I didn't realize it. But now in retrospect, I'm like, these people, they're masters of marketing.
Oh,
Conor would come on stage and he would say one thing that lives on forever. You know, like a lot of the YouTube videos of his press conferences.
Were we meant to go to Dr. Hanan?
We were.
Oh, shit. I think we've missed it.
What is the time?
Oh, we've got like 2 minutes.
We're
so right. Jesus. I mean, here we are talking about UFC. Fuck. See if he's still there.
I'm going to fix it.
See if we can get Dr. Hanan. I mean, I forgot. You see, this is what happens on this show.
This is what happens. That's why I don't like coming here.
We have an agenda. And now we started talking. And I was getting into this. So I was like, you were talking about these people and these guys have these
and
goals.
I'm like Trump. I go on the weave. And then I start weaving, and it's hard to unweave. Dr. Hanan.
It felt like we were almost doing the Rogan Trump podcast. Is that so?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, is he there, or are we going to waste his time?
I think we've already wasted his time.
All right, well.
Dr. Hanan, are you there?
He's no longer.
Okay, apologize to Dr. Hanan. tell him we'll give him much more time the next time he's on.
Yes.
Okay.
Tell him I'm sending him a nice selfie here and an apology.
Yeah, an apology. Yes.
Sorry,
there we go.
I went on a tangent. I was talking about Conor McGregor. But anyway, just to close that story, it's that the UFC, when they build their stars, they are very, very clever in the way that they do it. They tell this whole story about even this guy, Max Holloway, the one I'm making the example of, who did the knockout in the last second. After that knockout, he was idolized and immortalized as a legend because, you know what I mean? This was like, you couldn't have made it up.
So I'm going to take this to the nth degree now.
Mm.
And I'll tell you what, this has all happened before because I love history.
Mm.
You know where it's going to go?
Where?
Gladiatorial games.
Mm.
We're eventually going to get to the point, and I want to be the one to do this, where you buy an island. You buy all the worst criminals from all the countries in the world. They'll want to sell them to you. You give them money.
Geez, I thought you were going to talk about.
No, criminals. You buy the world's worst criminals and you have them fight to the death. That's what people really want.
Yeah.
There's
a movie about that.
I'm telling you now, they're only watching because the oak gets hit in at the last minute. The guy goes down. There's drama.
Yeah. Do you put cameras all over the island?
Listen.
Like the condemned.
No, we build a stadium.
Okay.
Build a stadium like the Colosseum. You can flood it and have naval battles. You can have people fight with medieval weapons.
Right. No guns.
Because otherwise you shoot someone in the crowd.
Yeah.
That's no good.
You have medieval edged
weapons. I'm telling you they will because you're buying the worst people in the world. Rapists, child molesters, murderers, serial killers.
Yeah.
And then you let them loose on each other. But you stage the fights. You build it up.
Yeah.
You have this one versus this one. And you say to people, how could you support a child molester? And then some of them are, how could you support a murderer? and people all over the world. The Puerto Ricans will be for their serial killer. The Guatemalans will want their gangster leader to win. I mean, it'll be incredible. Ooh,
the El Salvadorians.
I'm telling you, El Salvador, Jeez, that guy. That guy will sell us so many.
They can do season one alone.
Exactly. even could do it in El Salvador, and they'll pay for it.
Yeah.
And you have advertising going around the stadium.
Not a bad idea.
You have people selling figurines of all the bad criminals. I'll tell you what, kids will. Well, obviously, you can't have kids watching it, but they'll hear about it.
Yeah.
And then Friday, 12 o'clock, you know there's someone's going to die.
Yeah. And you'd never run out of contestants.
Never.
But crime will go down drastically
in the world.
Because
it'll sort the whole world out.
Yeah. Because I watched, first of all, there's a movie on it called The Condemned. It's a similar plot, but they do give them guns, which is unfair. They put these prisoners there and they like kill each other and they live stream it for money. And they make a fortune, obviously, because everybody wants to see it.
Of course.
But the other day, I watched a movie called Hard Target. When I get bored, I watch nonsense with Van Damme. Okay? And the plot of Hard Target is that these rich guys pay to enter a bounty hunt.
Yeah.
They like to get army veterans that are homeless and down on their luck. And they give them this money belt with $20,000 in it. And then they're like, okay, you need to make it from Sandton to Hillbrow on foot.
That's amazing.
Okay, you've got half an hour head start or whatever. And the oak has to clap it down the N1, but he can go along Bramley. And
can everyone see the money?
The money, yes. Everyone can see the money. Okay? He's got to make it there using his wits, and then they chase him. And he's going through the city. He's going through Seattle.
How long you reckon you could last in this? The route you said. The route you just said now, from Sandton to Hillbrow.
From Sandton, you've got to hit Bramley. Then you go through Bramley. You've got to go Melrose. You've got to go,
on Louis Buerta.
Along Louis Buerta. Jesus, that's the safest Christ. Route. If you go straight down the highway, you're dead. These oxen are hunting
Louis
you.
Louis Buerta's safer.
Louis Buerta's your army vet. Then he needs to make it to the end. Obviously, nobody makes it. And the guys that are hunting have got advanced weaponry. And they pay $750,000 to shoot a human being. It's like The Purge.
Yeah.
And this guy, when Arnold Vosloo was in the movie.
Okay.
This is back in his mummy days. Before the mummy even. He's he tells the contestants, these are the rules. And then he's remember, don't feel bad for what you're doing, because we are purging society of the undesirable.
Right.
These are people who live under bridges. Nobody cares about them. They've got no family. And if they win, they get $20,000. So people, they're justifying why this is okay.
Well, this is how, I'm telling you now, this is where we're going to go.
Because you're going to struggle with that with your idea. Reality you're going to have to find a way to justify why
only
it's okay.
Only with a few very bleeding heart. Most people on earth have a desire, and I'm not saying it's a good thing. They have this bloodlust. People are. That's why they watch
UFC.
They watch Formula One for the accidents. Okay?
Good point.
They watch fights to see Oaks getting murdered.
Yeah.
They watch rugby because they're hoping the Oaks will fuck each other up.
Mm.
This is it's a thing that no one wants to talk about, but it's there.
Mm.
It's bubbling under for all the people in the world. Mostly men, but there'll be a lot of women who are into this too.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, once... Remember that the Roman emperors used to keep control of society because they gave them bread and they gave them entertainment. So the people were always distracted by entertainment and by food.
Mm. And they didn't notice that the politicians were robbing them dry.
Correct. So this is the best thing you could do. Mapelo says we have to take a break. Mm. It is 7:05, but there we go. I mean, imagine
that. Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell and P. Diddy. Who wouldn't watch that?
Well,
I mean, Diddy would take Ghislaine out.
He would, but I think, if you put Diddy on the island, he's not going to be killing people.
No, but in a stadium.
He's going to be spiking.
Okay, what's his weapon? What's Diddy's weapon?
Rohypnol.
Baby oil.
Laced to
Johnson's baby oil. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere.